This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Eight oh four now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gale from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. All right. Kyler Mead took it upon himself to do a three-part series on Terry Ranch. Did a deep dive into this Terry Ranch project. And as the city of Greeley, he writes, seems to move toward the likely completion of a purchase of roughly 1.2 million acre feet of water. And you gotta love this. It is so innovative. The aquifer that encases it beneath the grazing land at Terry Ranch, this in northern Weld County, assuring what the city staff says will be the future of a growing city's water security. Well, there does remain some naysayers, some loudly voiced opposition to the move. It's a group called Save Greeley's Water. It's spearheaded by two former longtime employees of the city water department. Their website, SaveGreeleysWater.com, includes dozens of allegations about the city's plan for the underground aquifer, but do their concerns hold any water? Joined this morning by Sean Chambers. Sean is director of Greeley Water and Sewers. Sean, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. Certainly do appreciate it.
Thank you, Gail. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's just start because, again, this three-part series on the Terry Water Project, pretty in-depth. So what I want to do this morning is let's start with the backstory of the project, and then given the time that we have, because, well, I know you probably have a lot of things on your plate that you need to attend to, just kind of want to work through some of the concerns and Greeley Water and Sewers' response to them. So give us the backstory of the Terry Ranch Project.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the opportunity to talk a little bit about the project today.
You bet. The
backstory really starts with the city's need to position itself for long-range water supply security. As most of our citizens know, we've been very planful over many decades in acquiring water and positioning Greeley to be resilient to a growing economy in northern Colorado. We want to be prepared when industry comes and when homes come. And the state demographer tells us, and we agree, that Greeley will be 260,000+ people in
that
the next
boggles
50 years.
The mind, Sean.
Hard it's to believe, kinda, right?
Yeah, because, you know, it's funny. There's that old saying, if you build it, they will come. They're coming anyway.
They're coming anyway. And east of I-25, land is more affordable. It's more plentiful. And frankly, we have a more robust economy. And so we know that based on the city's comp plan and state demographer projections and our own analysis with economic consultants, that those numbers are real. And so we've got to position the city with a supply portfolio and a storage portfolio that's got adequate water and storage to meet those demands. So we've been working since about the early 2000s on a long-range expansion of a storage reservoir that is on the North Fork of the Poudre River. That reservoir is known as Milton Seaman. Mm-hmm. Milton Seaman Reservoir has undergone a lot of study on how it could be expanded. It's an on-channel, meaning on-river reservoir. The river runs into it and then is released through the dam. And expanding such a reservoir is extremely complicated. Tremendous environmental permitting, so it falls under the requirements of the National Environmental Policy Act. And so we've been working with the Army Corps of Engineers on 404 permitting, as it's known, and doing a tremendous amount of analysis of the impacts of expanding Milton Seaman, as well as looking at hundreds of alternatives that could provide the same type of adequacy for water storage and meeting our future needs. And so through that process, we have come to a very firm conclusion that Milton Seaman is an extremely difficult project to permit. The Army Corps told us more than 2.5 years ago we will give you a permit, just not for the expansion of Milton Seaman. And that meant we were looking at a range of other alternatives, which were like plains reservoirs that would be out near Greeley, that we'd have to run water through ditches to get the water out to them, degrading water quality really significantly and really driving excessive treatment costs, a lot of evaporation in those projects, or lots and lots of pipelines, tremendous amounts of pumping. And through this evaluation of hundreds of alternatives, we settled on a preferred alternative that is technically superior. It's got the ability to be built in phases, and so it is more affordable for the citizens, and it can be built as growth requires it. And it's a bit novel to Northern Colorado, but it's a widely used strategy in the Metro Denver area, and it's known as aquifer storage and recovery. And so the Terry Ranch project fundamentally is an aquifer storage and recovery project. It comes,
which I think is absolutely brilliant, by the way, because it is, for me, a very novel concept. But as you said, it's nothing new.
That's right. Nothing new. Tremendous numbers of people across the West utilize this technology. Arizona, California, Colorado, Utah, and particularly here along the Front Range, this specific type of sandstone aquifer, the type that's under Terry Ranch, is widely used from Colorado Springs up through southern Weld County. And it's a porous sandstone. It's got confining layers of shale or other impervious rock above it and below it. And so that unique characteristic means that you have the ability to put water down into the aquifer, and it stays in kind of a mound or a bubble down there until you want to pull it back out. And so we're very experienced in terms of our knowledge about what's been done in the South Metro Denver area, and then we've gone and tested through an investigative process up at Terry Ranch to make sure the aquifer characteristics and the geochemistry are going to function the way we think they are. All those tests were conclusively confirmed to be the type of geochemistry and the type of porosity, meaning the amount of pore space that can hold water, that we're very excited about the project, and we've not found any flaws in the planning that we've developed around how to construct it and how to operate it.
So I want to get back to your point about permitting, because there's, I think you raise a very, very good issue there. You're not necessarily saying that future efforts for permitting with a Milton Seaman Reservoir are necessarily impossible, not saying that it's off the table, but there are, I believe, a lot more positives when it comes to Terry Ranch compared to Milton Seaman. Among them, affordability.
Yeah, that's right. So the federal permitting world is tremendously complicated, and it's expensive. It's expensive to permit, and dams are expensive to build. Our listeners probably remember that Greeley is a 10% owner in the Windy Gap firming project. Mm-hmm. That project has had all of its permits since 2017 and is still tied up in a quagmire of litigation with environmentalists. And the price tag, the inflationary cost of construction just continues to grow. Greeley's 10,000 acre feet in that project will come at a price of nearly $60 million. But as it relates to Milton Seaman, it's a very complex project to permit, but it's a reservoir that we own and we control, and it's a really important piece of our supply and our drought resiliency system. And so we will absolutely keep that asset in the bullpen, and the opportunity to expand it at some future date is always on the table. There's probably a future time when that type of expansion would be more well-received or the political environment around it would be more friendly than the current environment. And as you noted, the complexity of building a large dam, the smallest of which for Greeley would be about $500 million, that would all have to be financed in a single bond issue. Construction would run between 4 and 5 years. And then Greeley's existing ratepayers and anyone who came on to the system would be repaying those bond payments almost like a mortgage. And so, you know, the department and the leadership of the city have had great concern as we've really honed in on the Milton Seaman project and the scope of cost, that if we were able to afford this project at $500 million, that we would be essentially house poor, right? We wouldn't be able to make the other types of basic upgrades to the system. We wouldn't be able to improve treatment plants or replace failing pipelines, because we would have all of our customer resources tied up in making these giant bond payments to serve on a reservoir that was under construction at a price tag of $500 million. So we really think the feasibility of the Terry Ranch project offers our customers and our utility a lot more resiliency in a financial sense, meaning the ability to make sure we're continuing to invest in the rest of the system while adding capacity for storage and water resources.
I want to talk a little bit about the pushback against this Terry Ranch project. By the way, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, joined by Sean Chambers, Director of Greeley Water and Sewer. I'm wondering if you might be able to stick with us for another segment.
I sure can. Thanks.
That'd be great. More with Sean Chambers, Director of Greeley Water and Sewer, in just a few. 8:15 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com. This time check brought to you by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, where Church Basement Ladies takes center stage now through March 28th. Visit ColoradoCandlelight.com for tickets and show information. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, Broadway in your backyard.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Well, when it comes to all things water, and I'm sure if you are familiar with water law, and even peripherally, you know this to be the truth, that, well, there's always going to be a lot of discussion, perhaps maybe even falling into the category of opposition. Joined this morning by Sean Chambers, Director of Greeley Water and Sewer, as our conversation about the Terry Ranch project continues. Now, I want to talk a little bit, Sean, about this group that is spearheaded, according to this series that was done by Kyler Mead in the Greeley Trib, spearheaded by a couple of former long-term employees of the City Water Department. Their website, SaveGreeleysWater.com. Well, I've been noodling around on it, as I'm sure you have as well. It includes dozens of allegations about the city's plans for this Terry Ranch project, the underground aquifer, containing numerous statements claiming, among other things, that the water is unsafe for consumption. Have you spoken to these two individuals that have spearheaded this group, Save Greeley's Water?
Yeah, we sure have, Gail. We have had a number of meetings with these folks and really tried to be very responsive, not just to them directly, but also just to answer the critiques that they've made publicly through their meetings and through their webpage. You know, factually, their concerns have given us some things to chase down that we hadn't fully investigated until they raised them. And that's only made us more confident in the project and the ability for us to deliver it to citizens in a safe way. Their core concerns, you know, have consistently been pretty focused on water quality. Mm-hmm. And we have done a tremendous amount of sampling and due diligence on the aquifer. And more than 8,000 water quality samples have been collected. That's at a variety of different depths. More than 500 constituents have been analyzed, including all of the things that are required by the Department of Public Health and Environment and the Clean Water Act. And so we are very, very confident in our ability to deliver this water to our citizens safely at an affordable price with minimal treatment. And that minimal treatment is really only in place to make sure that we remove the uranium that's naturally occurring in the supply down to below detectable limits, which is far, far below the EPA's Safe Drinking Water Act requirement for uranium in the water.
Well, as you mentioned, that seems to be among their chief concerns is the presence, which you say is not unprecedented, the presence of uranium in the Terry Ranch groundwater. This, as Kyler Mead pointed out in the Trib article, as evidenced by the tagline on the website, Save Greeley's Water, United Against Uranium in Our Drinking Water. And, you know, I think we can all agree we love Greeley for any number of reasons, but you don't want to mess with Greeley's drinking water because we've won national recognition for the purity of our drinking water.
Yeah, we sure have. You know, the chief engineer and the lead operator who are responsible for that AWWA award, that's an American Water Works Association award, those guys continue to be our chief engineer and our lead operators. And they are highly confident in their ability to treat this Terry Ranch water the same as they treated the drinking water that won the awards. So high-quality source of supply is important to us as much as it is to any other system. And Greeley's really blessed to have many high-quality sources of supply. But it also comes down to some really major investments in treatment over many years. The city just completed a new 20 million gallon per day investment in our Bellevue treatment plant. That's the site that won, that produced the water that won the AWWA award. So when it comes to treatment and producing safe water that meets all the standards, that's our day in and day out business. We do it well, and we're confident we can treat Terry Ranch the same as we treat our other sources. And we'll remove uranium from Terry Ranch the same as we remove low amounts of uranium in our other sources.
Now, you had noted that, and you know, I'm like you. I welcome conversation. I'm not part of the cancel culture, to be sure. And I welcome opposing viewpoints, which it seems as though you, Sean Chambers, director of Greeley Water and Sewer, along with Adam Jokerst, has done as well. You said that this group, Save Greeley's Water, has brought up some issues that merited a little further investigation. What are some of those?
Well, the risk of contamination has been a high concern for them, and they have looked at that pretty closely in a number of ways and cited a couple of things that they perceive to be threats. And the two probably or three most obvious are the potential that activities where biosolids are land applied by Fort Collins to the northwest of the ranch, that those could somehow ultimately leach into the groundwater and then into the aquifer. Second is that if future oil and gas development were to occur in the area, that could somehow contaminate the aquifer. And then the third is the threat of a contaminant known as TCE that has been documented to be leaking from an Atlas D missile site up in Wyoming and has contaminated some of the Ogallala Aquifer in the White River Formation. So that's an aquifer that overlies the Terry Ranch formation. So it doesn't exactly overlie it in a vertical sense, but in a spatial sense, the White River is above the upper Laramie, and the contamination is a long ways north and west of the Terry Ranch site.
Sean Chambers, director of Greeley Water and Sewer, thank you for this primer on the Terry Ranch project. It's certainly valuable. Now, where does it all go from here?
Yeah, so we have presented the project and all of the diligence findings. That is the sum total of our investigation and the engineering work done by our third-party independent consultants. That was presented to the Water and Sewer Board on Wednesday the 17th. They approved and recommended to council the to move forward and to close the transaction. And so what happens next is we'll be preparing to present the same to City Council on the 2nd of March. There's tremendous opportunity for public input at that meeting. So there'll be a couple of different opportunities within the meeting, and then the city will present information, will present input from our experts who did a lot of investigative work, and then the council will take action on the project.
Sean Chambers, Director, Greeley Water and Sewer, thank you so much for being so generous this morning, not only with your time, but with all of this really important information. Interesting, just got a text here on our 1310 KFKA text line from John saying, the Terry Ranch water deal is genius, pure genius. So I thought I'd pass that along.
Thanks so much for sharing that, Gail. This project is really a result of, at some more than a decade of work. It was the NEPA process that led us to find this alternative. And then, more than a year of detailed investigation and sampling and making sure that we really felt confident about the science behind the project. So really appreciate the input from your caller.
Absolutely, and really appreciate your input as well. Sean Chambers, Director, Greeley Water and Sewer on the Terry Ranch Project. Thanks again.
Thank you.
8:31 now, 1310 KFKA.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Great in-depth conversation this morning with Sean Chambers, Director of Greeley Water and Sewer, relative to the Terry Ranch Project. Your takeaways this morning, 970-353-1310. You can also drop me a text on our 1310 KFKA text line. Just a reminder, if you're new to our texting cohort, well, we got a new number for you. All you have to do the first time you use that number is text KFKA to 970-478-1301, and then you can just text away to your heart's content. So are you comfortable with this Terry Ranch project? I thought Sean Chambers made a very cogent case, very open to the opposition that this group, Save Greeley's Water, has put out there, voicing their concerns. Obviously, Adam Jokers, the Deputy Director of Greeley Water and Sewer, and Sean Chambers, Director of Greeley Water and Sewer, taking those concerns to heart and doing due diligence to ensure that this project is not only viable but indeed safe. But interested in your thoughts this morning, 970-353-1310. All right, moving on. Weld County has announced a vaccine equity plan. Just wanted to pass this information along. This as Weld has the 11th lowest vaccination rate in the state. This piece I pulled out of the Trib by Trevor Reed. Weld County health officials collaborating with several local partners in an effort to improve vaccine access and equity. This according to a news release on Friday. You had Weld Health data specialist Cindy Cronage saying that preliminary analysis shows that low-income and minority populations are significantly less likely to obtain the COVID-19 vaccine. Data on Weld County's COVID-19 vaccine dashboard shows 35,000 people, and I'm sorry, my bad, I was remiss, I didn't check for the most recent numbers this morning, but again, data from Weld County's COVID-19 vaccine dashboard shows that 35,000 people have received their first doses of the two-part vaccines as of this past Thursday. Of those 35,000 people, 15,026 have also received their second doses. Talked to several of you who have gone through this process. And, you know, the conventional wisdom out there is the first Fauci-ouchie, no big deal. The first part of the two-part vaccine, that you didn't have any side effects. But, boy, I'll tell you what, there was a lot of suggestion out there that the second dose, be it the Moderna or the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, both of them double-truck vaccines, meaning you have to get two doses of the vaccine. A lot of information, some might call it misinformation out there. Now, your experience might be different. You know, results will vary, right? But talk to several of you who've had that second dose of the COVID-19 vaccine and said that your symptoms after that second dose were really minimal at best. Sure, maybe you had pain at the injection site, or you were a little sniffly, or you were a little lethargic, you had some fatigue, but nothing that rose to the level of what we were hearing about some of the side effects suffered by many after the second dose of the vaccine. And many I use in air quotes because it seems increasingly so. And let me know if your experience has been different. 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our 1310 KFKA text line. For the most part, what I'm hearing is, no, it's pretty smooth sailing the whole way through the two-step process. Meanwhile, back to this piece about Weld County announcing its vaccine equity plan, as Weld County has the 11th lowest vaccination rate in the state, a piece out of the Trib by Trevor Reed. Now, data tracking initial doses by race shows non-Hispanic white people making up 81.3% of those who have received initial doses in Weld County. Census data showing non-Hispanic white people make up just under 70% of the county's entire population. Officials are hoping the plan will ensure vaccine equity across the region and among communities disproportionately affected by COVID-19, as well as build a foundation for more locally driven processes regarding where vaccines are distributed in northern Colorado. Apparently, key strategies include addressing barriers to vaccination, such as transportation and language accessibility, addressing disinformation about vaccines. Boy, that's a heavy lift, too, because if you look at nationwide polling, there are groups that are terrified of getting a vaccine simply because, well, doesn't matter what political stripe they are, they just don't trust the government. And making sure that these vaccines are available at no cost to anyone who desires inoculation. Are you concerned about getting the vaccine? If so, why? 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our 1310 KFKA text line. Now, sure, if you have underlying conditions, and there are some where even the epidemiologist in chief, Dr. Anthony Fauci, recommends that you do not get the vaccine. What comes to mind is if you suffer, for example, from Epstein-Barré syndrome, among other conditions, you are told you might want to think about taking a pass on the vaccine. But is your concern more from a misinformation, disinformation perspective than it is from worrying about the physical side effects of getting the vaccine? Well, Weld Health Chief Nursing Officer Cynthia Horn also said in the release, the vaccine equity plan in Weld County will help to ensure providers reach and inoculate people who have unique challenges to getting vaccinated. Now, in addition to the strategies that have been put into place or that are scheduled to go into effect, officials noted the need to reduce hesitancy around the vaccines through a combination of interventions, including engaging community members and community leaders, as well as social media outreach and healthcare professional training. Tell you what, I'll make you a promise here. As soon as I'm eligible to get that vaccine, I'll be totally transparent with you, and I'll let you know what my side effects were. Don't know if you're interested in that, but I'll put it out there. And again, you're perfectly capable of making your own determination and drawing your own conclusions about the efficacy of the vaccines that are available. But I think the more input, the better, particularly when it comes to the resistance that we are seeing across the country by many groups in getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, it's interesting because I came across another piece that we're not going to have time to get to this morning, unfortunately. But actually, this has been out for a couple of days. It was by Marty McCary in the Wall Street Journal. Dr. McCary is a professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and a Bloomberg School of Public Health. He's a chief medical advisor to Sesame Care and author of The Price We Pay. But this is a headline that actually caught my attention, one that says we'll have herd immunity by April. Interesting, isn't it? COVID cases have dropped 77%. In 6 weeks. I just thought the mainstream media wasn't talking about it. No, that's not it. They've dropped significantly. Marty McCary in the Wall Street Journal goes on to say, experts should level with the public about the good news. But what do we get from our epidemiologist in chief, Dr. Anthony Fauci? Oh, no. Oh, we're going to be wearing masks well into 2022. Makes you wonder about the narrative, doesn't it? Or is that just me? Meanwhile, back to this piece in the Greeley Trib by Trevor Reed. State data released on Sunday shows that Weld, this is interesting, subhead says 11th lowest vaccination rate. Studies show that Weld has the, we'll go with 11th, 11th lowest rate of vaccine doses distributed per 100,000 people, having received just 13,020 doses per 100,000 people. A chart of state data shows the percentage of doses distributed by the state to Weld is below the percentage of the state's population made up by the county. Weld, which makes up about 5.69% of the state's population, has received just 3.65% of doses distributed by the state. Why is that? I have some snarky ideas on that, but I'm not so sure that that would be prudent and that would be the responsible thing. You know where I'm going. This discrepancy, a difference of negative 2.04%, is the third lowest in the state above Arapahoe and Jefferson counties. Weld has the 11th lowest, there we go, vaccination rate in the state, with just 17,692 doses administered per 100,000 people. As of last Thursday, more than 61% of the county's 70 and older population has been vaccinated with at least one dose. And could that be because, well, there's been so much difficulty for so many in scheduling appointments because, well, Gov said, go ahead and just register, you know, sign up on every single provider website that you can. And then we wonder why so many people are having trouble even scheduling a COVID-19 vaccine. 20.3% of the 65 to 69-year-old population has received at least one dose. WELD Health recognized providers and partners affiliated with its equity plan include Banner Health, North Colorado Health Alliance, Sunrise Community Health Centers, Salud Community Health, Larimer County Department of Public Health and Environment, UC Health, NOCO Healthcare Coalition, and Larimer and WELD County Emergency Management. And not to be repetitively redundant, but once again, the state is operating a hotline if you have any questions about the COVID-19 vaccine. That number, 1-877-268-2926. 850 now, 1310 KFKA.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state, and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA. Preps Hoops is back. Now you can watch and listen. Go to 1310KFKA.com for details. Preps Radio is on. Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Necessity being the mother of invention. And boy, so many of you have gotten so creative throughout a time of COVID-19, the art of the pivot. Yeah, you own it. Well, meet the Nook. This is a Fort Collins born and COVID era 19 or COVID-19 era dining room on wheels for any restaurant. This is really, really cool. 857 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com. Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Working for a piece out of the Coloradoan this morning by Aaron Udell. A pair of childhood friends from Fort Collins. Well, they're looking to solve a pandemic-related dining dilemma as an answer to restaurant capacity restrictions. And, well, Colorado's sometimes rather unforgiving winter weather. You had Sean Hudgens and Seth Pearson, respectively, ages 27 and 26, recently launching something called The Nook, a rentable mobile dining room built to rove northern Colorado and offer restaurants a new outdoor dining option. So cool. The Nook, which is built on an 80-square-foot trailer, is insulated, heated, and outfitted with modern amenities, a table for six, and a Bluetooth speaker for diners to play their music on. They see it as a non-permanent option for restaurants looking to offer a warm, COVID-safe dining space for single parties. Hudgens says, "I know how hard it's been for small business owners, but especially for restaurant owners. My hope is that we can help them provide a spectacular experience for their clientele outside of the normal eating experience. We wanted it to be above and beyond on every single level." Now, both of their backgrounds in business, Hudgens spent time in construction, Pearson's in home renovation skills. So it was kind of a natural evolution as they threw themselves into building the Nook together in Fort Collins. The whole process took just under a month. By the way, the Nook is available to book for $80 per day or $500 per week. And if you want to book the Nook, just visit booktheNookNoco.com. All right, keep it right here. Tana Schwint, NoCo Now, up next.